Morning. It's good to be with you this morning. My name's Gord. I had the pleasure of being with you a few months ago and pleasure to come back. We tried something a little different this morning. But before we do, I want to do the scripture reading. It's found in Matthew chapter 14, a fairly familiar story to many of you. I want us to just briefly look at it this morning and see what the Lord has to say for us. We'll start with chapter 14 of Matthew, verses 22 down through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Well, he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." This is the word of the Lord. For a few moments, I wish you would indulge me. In your mind's eye, I want you to cast yourself back about 1950 years. Let's say it's about 50 AD. And you're part of a new movement called The Way, a church movement that is sort of radical, and people don't quite know what it's about. Matter of fact, you, as a new convert, don't know what The Way is about. And in your Sunday morning service, you've invited me to come and speak for a few moments. So with that in mind, 58. It's going to have a lot of similarities to today, because I wasn't there to know what it was like. Some of you may have been. Well, thank you, folks, for inviting me to speak to this new congregation this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Matthew. I had the opportunity to follow Jesus side by side for just over 3 years. From the time he walked past my tax collecting booth until the time he ascended into glory, I was with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There wasn't a thing he did that we didn't know about. We got to see him do marvelous things. Things that some of you have just heard about. And some of the things you're probably beginning to wrestle about. And while I've got your attention this morning, I want to follow on something that I understand James was saying a little while ago when he was here. Those of you may remember James was here, and he was talking about a book he's working on called Faith, and what it means to have vibrant faith and to be a Christian of faith. He's got all the theology, he's got it all down real good, but let me talk to you a bit about my experiences of faith with Jesus. Because faith is a constantly changing, constantly growing, constantly demanding of us. And you who are new in Christ have maybe yet to find out what it means to be a person of faith in Jesus Christ. Well, you may have been hearing some of the rumors of persecutions and Christians being outcast and imprisoned and stuff. And that may come to you one day. And my encouragement from talking to you this morning is to encourage you to think about your faith. Because with my time with Jesus, it seemed that's all what he was concerned about. It was our faith. I too, like James, am thinking about writing a book. And in it, I'm going to write about this one particular day that really taught me about faith. And to be honest with you, I wasn't very faithful. I didn't know what faith meant. But after that day, boy, I had a better understanding. Let me tell you a bit about it. Jesus had sent the 12 of us out to do some pre-evangelistic work in the villages and towns around him. We were to spread the word that Jesus was here and that he was healing and preach the good news about the kingdom of God. And I'm not a preacher. I'm just a tax collector. And it was exhausting work. And he gave us the power to heal people and to cast out demons. And I couldn't believe what we were able to do. But it was good to get back to Jesus after a few days. And so we came to Jesus where he was sitting and waiting for us. And he looked sad. I hadn't seen Jesus this sad in a while. And he just told us to calm down. We were all excited about preaching and healing and casting out demons, and we were pumped. And Jesus was just saying, guys, please, not now. It was sorrow in his eyes. He looked at us and said, John's dead. What do you mean John's dead? John the Baptist has just been beheaded. Disciples just came and told him. Herod, out of spontaneous bow, ill fought through, had John the Baptizer. He had given as a trophy his head to his God. Jesus truly, truly sorrowful. You see, John, one of Jesus' kin, probably his second cousin. Jesus just wanted to be quiet. He says, guys, I need to get away. I just need some quiet time. Why don't we get in the boat? Cross the lake. Just spend the day resting. Praying and grieving John's death. Resting? I'm all over that. I'm exhausted. This traveling with Jesus and the crowds and things, just the thought of quiet rest. So we got in the boat. Gentle breeze took us all the way across the Lake of Galilee. Oh, just over 5 kilometers in length. And we got it. I'm elbowing the guys beside me and saying, guys, this is the first day off we've had in a while. Isn't it going to be great? Yes, I'm heartbroken that John is dying. But for me personally, this is going to be a time to rest. It wasn't what I expected. I don't know how it happened. I don't know who told who, what, or how, but people started to come running to Jesus from all over. Oh, there was just a crowd of 20 or 30, but then there was 400, 200, 300, 400. I couldn't count them. Wait a minute, we're supposed to be resting, and all these people coming around. Jesus is wanting to grieve. Maybe we should get in the way and stop them. See, that's what we thought Jesus wanted. He didn't. Rather than grieve, he wanted to minister to these people. And for the whole day, he was teaching them. He was healing them. Whoever came to him with an illness, whatever illness it was, those who had been demon-possessed by mental and other anguishes, he was able to bring peace. It was astounding to him. I can see it in your eyes. Some of you are doubting. But see, that's what faith can do. We couldn't believe it. But they were still coming. It was like thousands of them. Thousands of them. And Jesus needed some space, so we didn't know what to do. Peter got over to Jesus. Jesus, there's thousands here. What do you want us to do? He looked at the sun. He says, well, it's getting late in the afternoon. I bet they're hungry. Why don't you feed them something? Pardon? Peter looks over at James and John. He wants us to
feel. What? Feel. What do you got? I don't know. What do you got? You got a couple of bucks. But how many did you say there were?
Jesus just says, guys, I'm trying to develop faith here. Work with me. Well, he didn't quite say it that way, but in his eyes, you could just see. We as his disciples, we're not pretty swift at getting what he's trying to do. Because right from the beginning, it was all about building faith. Here was an opportunity, and we're checking our pockets for a collection to buy food for 5,000 people. He says, guys, check around, see what you got. So Andrew comes back and says, well, 5 loaves, a couple of fishes. I saw a little kid with his lunch. I said, Jesus is hungry. Can he have it? He says, sure, you can have my lunch. So Jesus takes it. 5 loaves of bread. He says, oh, yeah, little ones for snacking on. And a couple of fish the guy had for lunch. He says, all right, come on, sit in. You ain't seen nothing yet. So we had them all sit down. And Jesus listens to the guy. He says, Father, and then all of a sudden he starts breaking the bread. He says, Peter, Preston, James, and well, Matthew. You know, the pastor. So I go and start passing out. Before we know it, people are eating. People are having lunch with Jesus by the lake. I kept looking at Jesus to see, but he was just there breaking bread, breaking fish. We had it to the people, and before you knew it, everybody was full. You know that kind of people stop eating and start chit-chatting and kind of fussing at the end of a meal, like, okay, what's next? Well, that's what had happened. There was nobody hungry. And Jesus said, okay, guys, collect the leftovers. How thoughtful of Jesus to make leftovers. Because he knew we needed to eat something. We were so busy helping everybody and doing what he told us. We didn't eat. But by the end of it, we all each had a little pouch of food that we could eat. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, guys. Why don't you get in the boat? Go across the lake. Take your lunch with you. I'll meet you there. I'm going to dismiss the crowd. I'll send them home. Make sure everybody's taken care of. You know, when Jesus says stuff like that, he just does. To be honest, it was getting late in the afternoon, and I still wanted my rest. Yeah, a boat ride back across the lake. Just what I need. No noise, no people, no demands, no crowds. Just the 12 of us, rolling the boat back. And as he pushed us offshore, and he was Bartholomew, he said, how's Jesus going to get back? Peter said, oh. He'll probably walk around or grab another boat. He'll figure it out. I mean, it's not that long of a walk. So we go. Jesus dismisses the crowd all by himself. 5,000 plus people. I guess they were all healed because there was nobody left for him to deal with, to do anything with. You know what Jesus did? He finally got away. And he prayed. He spent the evening in prayer. Communion with God after this hectic day of hearing bad news and ministering to people. And there we are, out in the boat. Just chit-chatting, asking. 5 loaves. Stop talking. Get on the oars. We're having a little trouble. Okay. He started just going. Just nicely. Nice breeze. Cooling off the evening. Boats come on from side to side. For hours, we're trying. A wind had come up on the lake, throwing the boat around like paper. And we're just, you know, I mean, we're wondering.
Where's Gia? We could use some help. We're saying that because just a few months ago, we were in a similar story. Jesus was in the back of the boat, sleeping. We're fighting the waves and bailing the water. Peter, the fisherman, was afraid of dying and drowning that day. And he goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, wake up. We're drowning. Don't you care about us? Gotta love Jesus because he doesn't really get on him. He says, guys, where's your faith? And he rebuked the wind. He said, be still. I think he actually said, be still. I'm trying to have a nap. But the wind died down. Jesus said to the wind, stop doing that. And the wind said, okay. Now that is faith. And he kind of looks at us like, could you have done that? Why'd you have to wake me up? He goes back, sits down. Anyways, here we are. Like, where's Jesus now? You know, come on, guys. This is getting rough. We're getting all pouring out, all thrown over the place. It must have been about 7 hours at the oars. 7 hours. And we made about 3 kilometers across. Like, we were in the middle of the lake. It should have I should have been sleeping, and here we are at the oars, fighting the wind, fighting the waves, and just wondering what's happening next. One of the guys, I'm not sure who it was, might have been Thomas. He saw something off to the side. Guys, something over there in the water. Forget it! Keep rowing! Keep rowing. I'm a tax collector. I'm not a fisherman. I don't swim. Come on, guys, let's keep going. Let's get this thing across. No, there's something out there, he says. Let's keep going. And one after one, they all saw something coming towards them. So something like a little bit of whiteness in the dark of the night and the wind. I mean, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. What could be out there? But towards us. One of these seasoned fishermen said, guys, if that's the ghosts, we're done. I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, there's a folklore amongst the fishing boats and the fishing people that if you see a ghost coming during a storm or at night, it's death. Guys, we're not going to make it. Come on. And start rowing. He stopped rowing and looked and said, that's Jesus. No, it's not. And we all started screaming. It's getting closer. No, we're dying. Oh, where's Jesus? We're dying. No. And all of a sudden, this voice, familiar voice, guys, relax. Well, he didn't say it that way. He said, take courage. It's me. I am. In the boat, but I'm here. Don't be afraid. I think we're in the middle of a lake in a storm, and we're not to be afraid. I must admit, I was panicking. My mind wasn't clear. And see, Jesus was trying to teach us both faith again. And what it means to have faith. Even in this boat being tossed by the winds, he's saying, don't be afraid. I'm here. And of course, Peter. You know Peter. Now, if you haven't heard, you ought to meet him one day. I'm sure you'd find him an interesting character. You'll read about him in my book, because my book is a lot about him. Anyhow, that's a different story. So Peter said, look, Jesus, is that you? Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come and see you on the water. Ask me to come. Like Jesus would do. He said, sure. Come on. I'm holding on the boat because I'm not going anywhere. Safe in the boat. Better than the other side. So I don't swim, remember? Peter's kind of thinking for a brief second, but you know, it's so impetuous.
holding on to the boat. The rest of us are there holding on for dear life.
Peter,
wondering what's going to happen. Peter sees Jesus. Let's go to the boat. Walking towards Jesus. I was beginning to understand what's going on.
Probably looks back at us.
And that's where you're making the mistake. You look back at us. It's like, see. He starts losing sight of Jesus. And he goes down in the water, screaming to Jesus, Jesus, I'm drowning. Jesus, I'm drowning. Jesus reaches down. Put his hand and brings him up. He says, where's your faith? That's all he says to Jesus. That's Peter. And he walks to the boat. We're all standing there flabbergasted. And we're just two people walking on water in a storm, not nice and calm, having a conversation about faith. Jesus gets in the boat. You know, that day has stuck in my mind ever since. And I want to talk to you about what faith really means. And what can we learn from my day with Jesus? Feeding 5,000 people, being at sea in a storm, walking on water, healing the sick, ministering the word of God. Let me share a few thoughts. They may or may not be applicable to you. If they do, then they got them. I've taken them to heart. And I would like to say I'm a different person than I was. See, so sometimes we think about faith as being in the boats, with everything's nice and calm. I can trust Jesus. Everything's calm. Everything's under control. There's nothing going on. And then when the storms come, the first person we turn to for safety, us, deliverance, is to Jesus. And all along, Jesus has been trying to tell us to have faith. He once told us that if we had the faith the size of mustard seed, we could tell a mountain to go into the sea. And it would do it. I looked at Thomas and I said, not a chance. Had somebody told me that Peter would be walking on water, I would have said, not a chance. But you don't understand faith. Because faith demands the most of us when we're most afraid. When we feel that the safety of our boat is in danger. Rather than crying out in fear and trepidation, Jesus is telling us to have faith. Another thing I thought about faith after that day was the idea that Jesus sometimes is in the boat with us. Sometimes he's talking to the tax collectors saying, let's step out of the boat. He knew I wasn't going to do that. My hands were firmly gripped because that was my only hope. My faith was more in this wooden ship keeping me safe than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Messiah, the Christ, the one who is all powerful, the one who created the universe. I mean, this is the Jesus I've been seeing, the one who had authority over the wind and the waves. He says, wooden boats don't cut it. Sometimes you have to step out of the boat and let go. You know, it's Sometimes I wonder if it would have been better if we all just gotten out of the boat. We'd probably have learned the lesson a lot quicker. If we all got out of the boat and he sank. And then we could have walked across
the lake to the other side.
Could you imagine the people on the other shore? That when we get there, you know, 13 of us walked across, that didn't change happened. Let's go. No, we had to stay with the boat. So faith sometimes says, get out of the boat and go to Jesus. Faith also says, as Peter demonstrated when he sank into the water, you got to keep your eyes on him. See, when Peter kind of got a little full of himself because of this newness, and really he was the only one, the rest of us were afraid, I mean, and he looks at, as soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, you're lost. James in his book is going to say, fix your eyes on Jesus, or Peter, no, whoever. He's going to say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your heart and your mind. See, if we're going to be people of faith in Jesus, it's because we focus on him. Not the waves, not the storm, not the uncertainty, not our inabilities to swim, because I didn't have to swim that day. I could have just walked with Jesus across the lake. But my faith was so small that it had to stay in a boat. And that boat would never happen. There's often stories of boats being tipped over in storms and sinking and all life and cargo being. But for me at that point, my faith was in the little wind boat. Jesus says, folks, I'm asking you, you've got to have bigger faith. You've got to have bigger faith. See, we try to keep Jesus in the boat. He's saying, no, there's so much more I want to show you. So much more I want you to do. But you have to have faith, because you can't do it without faith. You can't feed 5,000 people without faith. You can't walk on water. You can't heal. You can't pray. You can't do anything without faith. So my 3 years of journey with Jesus were lessons in faith. So let me ask. Jesus asking you to get up close. We're at, maybe as a church, maybe as individuals, maybe, what is it that you're clinging on for dear life? And Jesus is standing over here saying, come on out, the water's good. It's a nice evening for a walk on the lake. Why don't you join me? See, Jesus is always doing something new. The old way, the old familiar things that we put our faith in, don't work, don't last. Jesus is saying to us as individuals, as a congregation, have faith. Step out of the boat. Sure, you're afraid. I was terrified. But you know what? My fear that and self-interest that kept me in the boat meant that I missed the opportunity and the joy and the wonder of walking on water. I missed out on that. Jesus has so much more for us to do beyond our imagination that every time we stay in our little boat or in our fear or in our uncertainties or in our self-worth or in whatever, we miss opportunities for Jesus to do something wonderful. Whether it be feeding 5,000 people, the meager resources that we were able to find that day, healing, whatever. Faith is constantly drawing us out of ourselves, out of our safety, and into the uncertainty and presence of Jesus. That takes courage. Well, Peter was maybe not so courageous. He was certainly eager to go and do it. He had some things to learn. All of us who were too afraid to move have to learn. In your faith journey, you may think you've been through the mill. You may think that life has been nothing but a storm, and that storm after storm after storm. Just remember, everything that's happening is about faith. Peter is going to write a book or a letter to encourage Christians to remember that when you're going through the toughest times, the toughest storms of life, that Jesus is working on developing one thing: faith. Jesus wasn't working on my ability to swim that day. He was working on faith. Everything that's happened, Jesus is kind of saying, do you still believe? Even though you're out of your comfort zone, even though you're out of your familiar surroundings, and in areas that no one has ever thought even possible, do you have faith? So, as a congregation, a church, I'm asking myself the question, maybe you should ask yourselves the question, what would happen if this group said, no, we will have faith. We will listen to God's, Christ's voice saying, come to me. And we will fix our eyes on Jesus. And we will go. It may mean leaving the confines of these walls and doing something scary and something unknown and undone before. But Jesus is standing there saying, guys, come on. I'm over here now. Done with the boat thing, obviously. I got a new mode of transportation. Why don't you join me? Oh, I suppose there's lots more I could say, but faith is a journey. You may be feeling like you have that. And that's okay. Because Jesus is reaching and constantly developing confidence. You may feel that you've disappointed Jesus too many times, and that he's not likely to use you again, and that you have no value, no worth, nothing that he could use, and you'd rather just say, I'll take a back seat. I've disappointed Jesus too much. Well, let me tell you, you haven't. There's nothing you could do to disappoint him. Oh, you may be disappointed. That's your business. But when it comes to Jesus, he constantly wants you to grow in faith. So this morning I'm asking, have you got faith? Take it out of the boat and walk on some water. I trust when it comes time, you will. Heavenly Father, we all are growing in faith. There's not a person in this room that says, can say, they have all the faith. But you are constantly drawing us out. So may we take the words and the thoughts of this conversation about faith to heart. Help us release the grip of that which we hold on to so that we can walk on water with you. Bless this church, bless each person here with the faith necessary to proclaim the kingdom of God in the world, in the weather, and in the storms of life. Let's close the service with the singing of How Great Thou Art.